Hello, it's Wayne Perry, the TV carpenter here. Can I ask you a question? Are you a DIY doer? Meaning, do you like DIY? Do you like fixing things in your home? Or does it frighten you and you'd rather somebody else did it, like your other half, or you paid somebody to come and do it? The reason I'm asking the question is, it's either one or the other. People don't realise anyone can be a DIY doer. And for me, when I say that, I don't mean the big jobs. I don't mean putting up shelves. I don't mean laying laminate flooring. For me, DIY is about having a safe house for you and your family. So when I say safe, knowing how the smoke alarm works and why does it beep, or knowing how to turn your water off if your house is flooding, or if the fuse trips and your electrics go out, knowing what all the buttons on the fuse board do. So that's a safe home. I think everyone should have that. Everyone should have a practical home, meaning everything should work as it should. So if your curtain tracks falls out the wall, you know how to put it on. Or if your toilet seat breaks, you know how to change it. But also, I think everyone should have a beautiful home, knowing what paint types to use, knowing how to upcycle some furniture. If you would like a safe, practical and beautiful home, let me teach you the DIY around it. All you need to do is join the DIY Doers Facebook group. You can find it on Facebook, or you can go to my website, thetvcarpenter.com, and I'll link you straight through to there. Let me help you create a safe, beautiful, and practical home for you and your family. On today's show, I chat with Katie Rushworth. She's the co-presenter of Love Your Garden with Alan Titchmarsh on ITV, and she's a gardening expert.
So if you have a garden that is in shade for most of the day, then you obviously need shade-loving plants. And if your soil is damp for most of the day, then you need plants that like it, you know, moist. Uh-huh. So then when you go to the garden centre, you kind of look in the section, or you ask someone in the garden centre, what plants like moist shade? And then instead of kind of having the whole garden centre to choose from, you might only have 20 plants to choose from. And that kind of just makes it a bit easier to get your head round, rather than kind of looking around everything and trying to mix up stuff that's just never going to grow there.
Hello and welcome to the TV Carpenter podcast with me, your host, Wayne Perry. This is a podcast where I interview my friends from the world of interior design and garden makeover shows so that they can inspire you to create your dream home. Whilst working on garden makeover shows or interior design shows, I get to meet some really interesting people. And two people that I met were the husband and wife team, Caroline and Ben, of Thorndown Paint. Now, as you'll know, Thorndown are my sponsor for the podcast. And it's so nice that I've met them in person, with that we've worked together on Love Your Garden. And I asked Caroline this short little interview about what it was like to see her product, her brilliant eco paint, being shown on Love Your Garden.
It's always great to see our paints being used on television shows, and just seeing people, and especially sort of interior and garden designers, bringing them to life. And we especially enjoy watching programmes that we've actually helped and worked on, like with Love Your Garden, watching the episode where Ben first met you, and then watching the episode where I was working with you down in Oxford and you were building the kitchen. And the garden not only was an amazing design, but the woman that it was made for as well was just fantastic. She was a gorgeous lady. But everything was painted with our wood paint. There was a corner shed that we did stenciling on. There was a huge summer house, the kitchen that you built, the fencing, the screening, a metal arbor that Katie painted, the breeze block walls, the pebble dash wall, and even the kitchen chairs as well. They were all spray painted in bright colors. So it was lovely just watching that back and reliving a very, very happy couple of days where I was spent with a paintbrush in hand just helping out.
If you want to get a paintbrush in hand so you can do your own transformation in your garden, contact thorndown.co.uk, and if you type in the code TV Carpenter, you will get 15% discount on any of their online purchases, so you too can experience how brilliant Thorndown paint is. I couldn't have chosen a more apt time to release this episode, this recording, with my fellow northerner, Katie Rushworth. Now, Katie is a presenter from Love Your Garden, and I've worked with her for about on and off for about 3 years doing various different episodes on that show. And it's quite funny because I'm up north at the moment. I'm visiting my family in Leeds. And if any of you saw my Instagram, you'll have seen that we finally dropped off the my mum's bird box that I made her for her 60th birthday because I missed it. It was in May, and with lockdown, we couldn't get up here. And If you're listening to this, my northern accent might be a little bit stronger. I haven't seen my parents for 8 months, but I think I'm making up for it. And it definitely goes stronger when I do my interview with Katie. She's a fellow Leeds lass who we don't live that far from each other. Well, I didn't live that far from her when I used to live in Leeds. But anyway, have a listen to this interview. It's really lovely. It talks about how Katie got onto the TV show and how she found gardening and how it almost saved her, and it just felt like a real natural thing to do, and having a big career change from doing visual merchandising, working in shops, to gardening. And she's made that career work for her, and she is, you know, leaps and bounds going in the right direction. She absolutely loves it. So have a little listen to this interview, the main event, my interview with Katie Rushworth. Katie Rushworth, thank you for coming on the TV Carpenter podcast.
You are very welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
First question first, like, we're in lockdown and I'm hoping that you've been on your tandem bike with your husband.
Do you know what? I've actually just got back from a bike ride, like, literally 20 minutes ago.
Hey! I wanted to make sure that you're totally making full use of it.
I don't know what I would have done without it, to be honest. It's been a total saviour because we've been able to get out and feel like we've had a day out, even though, you know, we haven't. We've just been doing our exercise on the bike.
Yeah.
And because we, you know, we live in the countryside, it's just felt lovely to just be able to get out and see stuff safely.
And are you at the front or at the back?
I'm at the back. Power. Where all the power comes from. He does the navigation. Yeah. And I do the power.
I love that. I've seen so many videos and pictures of you guys on this tandem. And you,
I love it.
When we've spoke before, you're like, I hate it, but for the first 5 minutes and then after.
Yeah,
that,
I do. It's hell. For the first 5 minutes, I'm like, why am I doing this again? This is awful. Why didn't I just stay at home? And then after that, the endorphins start kicking in and I'm like, woo, do we have to go home?
Don't make me go back to the laptop.
Yeah.
It's really lovely, actually. We've worked with each other a few times on, you know, the garden show. I love your garden, and it's interesting when, you know, you start researching somebody and finding out, and as well, I must say to my listener that I'm probably going to go more northern than I have done in the last 20 years because we're from the same part of Leeds, so we'll be proper northerners in this one. But I didn't realise that you started off in fashion. You worked in retail for 10 years. So what was your progression from there into gardening? How did that work?
It was all kind of a bit unplanned. Fluke, really, to be honest, like these things often are. So when I worked in retail, my last job was visual merchandiser, so I used to do indoor displays and window displays, and I used to travel all over the country doing that. And then when I had my daughter, it was just not feasible to kind of, you know, travel all over the UK all the time with a new baby at home. So the company kind of said, well, the only office job we can offer you is London based. And I was like, I'm not moving to London. So I kind of left the job, and then I was out of work for about 6 months, and I was like, what am I going to do? I don't want to go back to retail. I've done it for 10 years. I'd definitely done all my, I'd had enough of working all Christmas, bank holidays and weekends, you know, I'd done my time. So I started helping out a friend of mine. She was a retired gardener, and she said, why don't you come and help me a couple of afternoons a week? She looked after one garden still, just get you out of the house, because I was struggling a bit being a new mum. So I started helping her a couple of afternoons and really liked it. And I seemed to know loads. It was really weird. I think all those Friday nights at home with my mum as a kid, where she would make me watch Gardener's World with Jeff Hamilton, just must have soaked in via osmosis and just gone in. And my grandparents were always really keen gardeners. They didn't have much of a garden, a tiny yard, but, you know, they'd fill it full of stuff and enter Britain in bloom every year. And they were really keen. So I just think I, unbeknownst to me, it kind of filtered in. And once I was surrounded by it, I took to it like a duck to water, really. So then I went back to night school and did my qualifications at night school. Then I went back to uni part time for 4 years and did my garden design degree. And yeah, it kind of all came out of Nothing.
Wow.
Really.
That's amazing. But like to make that commitment then to go to night school, to do a degree in it, must have, you know, as soon as you touched the earth then you must have found a connection with it.
I think I did. I think really, you know, and I've said this a couple of times, I do think at the time that it was my saviour. You know, I didn't adapt very easily to new motherhood. I was still very young. I was 24. So my life changed drastically overnight to having been extremely independent and having this really great career and it being very fast paced and sociable to having this tiny baby and kind of it feeling like the rug was pulled from under me and I really struggled. So going to gardening and being outside and surrounded by nature and I don't know, I just do really, honestly, it sounds really, you know, twee, but I do think it saved me. And I just loved being outside. So I was like, well, maybe I could make something of this. And I thought I'd just put my toe in the water first and start with a night school. I was like, it's not an enormous expense. So if I hate it, it's only 2 hours a week. And, you know, but I didn't, I loved it. And my teacher was great. So I did that. And then while I was doing that, I kind of built up a bit of a garden maintenance job for, you know, old people, just doing hedges and lawns and weeding and stuff. I kind of started doing that. So I was working about 4 days a week, garden maintenance stuff, basics. And then after I'd finished my night stuff, yeah, I went back to uni and did garden design because I thought, well, it's kind of, you know, transferable. It's still creative. It's still colour, texture, form, pattern, structure. So everything I'd learned working in fashion for 10 years and display. So I was like, well, you know, I couldn't maybe transfer some of those skills over and it seemed to work.
Yeah, it definitely has worked. So how did the Love Your Garden job come about from that?
I was a bit, again, kind of out of nowhere. I was in my final year at uni and I went in one Friday and my friend Deb said to me, oh, I got this email through from a production company. I think they've emailed anybody on a gardening course in the UK saying that they're looking for a new presenter for this TV programme. I think you should go for it. And I was like, don't be daft. And she's like, no, I think you should. And then she forwarded me the email. And then that night I was like, well, I've never thought about going into TV, but I'll just apply. And I applied. And then the next day I got a phone call asking me to go for an audition.
Oh my God.
I know. Crazy. And then I kind of, it was a bit like gardening X Factor. I had to go through a series of auditions, like three different auditions. And it took a while. It was like it took a good while, like about 5 months really until I found out if I'd got the job and I got the job. And then it was only at that point when they told me it was in my final audition. So I went down to the, who I didn't know at the time was the executive producer of the show. I just thought it was, you know, just kind of cameraman, like worked for the production company, but he was a big boss.
Yeah.
And we went down to his house and we had to do this little, I suppose it like a how-to video now. Would be on YouTube. We had to do a little short video presenting and I did an alpine container. And it was only at that point then when they'd narrowed it down to 5 people and we all went for this last day of auditions that he told me it was for Primetime ITV with Alan Titchmarsh. It was only at that point that I knew. Otherwise, I thought it was like, you know, like some random daytime thing on an obscure channel that was never going to get seen. So, yeah, it was quite something when I found out that.
Wow, so they didn't tell you that it was for Mr. T then?
No.
Oh, my God. In a way, I think that's quite nice. You would have gone, I can't.
Absolutely.
Do this.
Yeah. So it was. I'm happy that I didn't know. Yeah. But I was gobsmacked when I found out it was going to be, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock every week on ITV with Mr. T.
Oh, my God. So like, have you seen your audition tape?
No, I do not want to. At all.
I'm sure we can find it. It's
no,
just fun.
No,
go. We'll dig
Wayne,
it out.
Wayne, don't you dare.
That would be brilliant.
It'd be bloody awful. I watched some of the first series now and I thought, oh, it's just cringe. I mean, it's kind of nice because I do see that I've come a long way. And I was totally new to TV. I'd had no training at all. So it's kind of nice in the fact that I'm like, oh, I'm much better at that now. But it's also like really just Total cringe.
But it is lovely because I've worked with you for the last 2/3 years, and obviously it's been going a long time. And I spoke to Francis on the podcast as well, the other presenter who started at the same time, has a very similar story to you. But even you guys just are so comfortable. And I think what's lovely about that show is that Mr. T and everybody have made you so relaxed. What kind of advice did he give you when you first started?
Oh, my God. I don't think he really gave me much. I think I always remember my first piece to camera that I had to do on the first day filming. And I had to plant this Acer in a container. And he was sat on the wall watching me do it. And I was so terrified. He wasn't watching, like, you know, in like a awful way. I think he was just, you know, kind of see how I got on. And that was the only real, only the time he's ever kind of given me any advice, and he just said to take my time and give all the information I thought was needed, and they could always edit out if I was said too much.
Because
I didn't know the process of making TV and how it worked, and I didn't know how to self-edit and really get the point across succinctly because I wasn't a TV presenter. So he kind of gave me the permission to just say what I knew about what I was doing, and then if they wanted to pare it back, then they could in the edit. But now, after 10 years of doing it, I know what they want in the edit, so, and I know how to get the points across, you know, in a much shorter format. But that's come after working, doing it for 10 years.
Yeah. I've realised it's all about sound bites, because in every of those shows, there's five stories. There's the homeowner, and then there's four of you guys, and each of you gets given an area. So that's the thread through. And you know that if you wax lyrical, it'll be on the cutting room floor because they can't cut too much
into it.
They can't get through it. So if they give a lovely little sound bite, and they can even over edit it, so they can show one shot of us in the background whilst your voice is cutting over. And once you know that, you know the editors love you. you can play the game.
Yeah, well, it just makes
everyone's
job easier. Yeah. And also, for me as a presenter, it means that I get to do my presenting bit and just get on with the task in hand. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Rather than kind of dragging it out and saying too much. I just need to get on a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Because you know what it's like. We've just got so much to do. So it's kind of a matter of just blasting through the content so we can just get our heads down and get on.
Yeah, we've done some amazing episodes, but one I wasn't involved, but I think it was on the last series, was there's the young guy who had Alzheimer's with a young family.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and for any of my listeners who haven't seen it, it's this lovely young guy. He was a gardener 32, he was a gardener himself, wasn't he? Part of a landscaping team, I think. And he had early onset Alzheimer's. So they knew that his brain was slowly deteriorating, and he had a young family, and the garden team came in. And you had, like, you get little interviews with the family, and he was his mate, wasn't it? It was his friend was there, and his friend was, you know, a burly bloke who was a gardener, and he lost it.
He did.
And I was like, how the hell did you not lose it in that moment?
It was really hard. I think you just, I don't know how I didn't, to be honest. I feel like you just got to be like strong for them. Mm-hmm. So even though at the time it was so upsetting, and I just kind of, you know, really wanted to give him a hug. And I think when we finished filming, I did. You just think, well, he's really struggling now, and is me crying going to help the situation?
Yeah.
So you just got to kind of swallow it down. But that's not to say that it's easy to do. You know, it's really, really not at all. But I think, you've just got to, you feel like you need to be a bit of a crutch for them in that moment, because for them as well, you know, it's really hard to get upset and be okay with that in front of a camera.
Yeah.
So I'm always concerned that when people get upset, they regret it, or they feel bad, or they feel like they've let themselves down because they've done that, when they're only human, you know, and they've quite got every right to, you know, it's totally understandable that they would get upset. So I kind of feel like I've got to be that, like, bit of a crutch from, like, you know, it's okay to do this, and it's all right, and I'm here with you. So I think maybe that's the reason why, but it was still really hard.
That was a hard one. What has been, obviously you've done it for 10 years now, like 10 years. What has been your favourite garden?
Oh, God, garden? Well, do you know what? I think I can actually answer that one, which is extraordinary, because there's so many of them now that I can't even remember. When we watched, there was an episode on the other Sunday morning, we were all sat in the living room having breakfast, and they just an episode on, and I was like, I don't even remember what this is. And I watched the first 5-10 minutes of it, and I was like, I've no idea where I am in the country, and I do not know what this garden is. And it took me like a good 15, 20 minutes, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know where I am now. Yeah, all right, yeah, I remember that one. So I forget them all the time. Frances has got like this photographic memory where she remembers them all, and she remembers the person that we did them for, and remembers where in the country. And I'm like, how on earth do you remember? She's like, you know, that one that we did in Chichester, and it was such and such and such. And I'm like, no, I absolutely have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway, my favourite one was one that we did down south. Can't remember exactly where it was, but it was for a family, young family, and it was so emotional. It was so emotional, but the garden itself as well was just awesome. We used these huge bits of stone. It was almost like over-exaggerated, blown-up, crazy paving. And we had this really amazing play feature made for the kids. And it was all made of natural felled trees that they stripped the bark of and sanded. And it was like really organically shaped. And then they'd put like rope bridges in between. And we turned an old boat into a really cool seating area. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was my favourite. And the story, and it just, yeah, it really annihilated us, that one. That was the one of the ones where we were all just in bits.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode. So it was like a really beautiful garden. You felt like you'd done something really amazing, and the family were just lovely, and the story was really moving. Yeah.
I think that's what's beautiful about the show is you know you're leaving them with something that's, you know, making their life so much easier at the end of
totally.
It.
Totally. And, you know, the amount of tweets and like little posts and messages I get on social media of people in their gardens like a year later saying, we're in our garden this summer and we've had it a year and it's like the best thing that ever happened to us and thank you so much. And they really do make a difference. You know, it's not just about us making the TV show for the sake of making a TV show sake. People, it actually does make a difference to these people's lives. And that's ace, isn't it? To say that, you know, we've done over 80 gardens now in the last 10 years. So to have made a difference for, you know, for all those people is pretty cool, really.
Yeah, I still get messages from one of the last series we did where we turned that swing into like a climbing frame, like a frame we put planters on it. Because they're on Twitter and Instagram, and I see all their posts about, oh my God, in lockdown, thank God, their daughter can't go out because she's high
totally.
Risk. Thank God we've got this place, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh my God, it still looks as beautiful as
still
when we left.
Still looks good.
Yeah,
oh,
it still looks good.
It's nice, isn't it?
In what was really lovely in lockdown, everyone's forced to be at home and doing the gardens, and you started doing some of your Instagram videos.
Yes.
And then what I found really interesting is we were supposed to be filming Love Your Garden again, and obviously because of lockdown we couldn't do it, and we have to out self you know, we were supposed to film them over March, April to start.
Yeah.
And then you started doing Grow Your Own, so the production company quickly turned around.
Yeah.
Did they copy you? Did that come from you, that idea?
I don't think so. I think they were just desperate to get something out.
Yeah.
And ITV really wanted to get something out. You know, they saw the fact that the nation seemed to be so interested in that. Well, they had more time on their hands. Many people did. And they wanted to start growing, and the weather was amazing.
Yeah.
So everybody wanted to be outside. So I think they just kind of really wanted to get involved and provide some valuable content for people that were starting to be interested in gardening, taking it up. So it's been different, and it's been hard work because obviously it's just been me and a cameraman, social distancing. So it has been really tricky. Like, thank goodness my husband's been here to do some of the lackeying work, because I've planted huge containers and, you know, bags and bags of compost and soil and stuff. So yeah, it's been long days, but it has been good, and I'm really pleased with the results. I think the show's really nice.
It's beautiful. I watched an episode last night. How is it, because you've got this beautiful barn, and I know when we were filming last year you'd only just moved in. How is it having the camera crew in your new home? Well, cameraman.
It's a cameraman, so it's all right. It's been all right, actually. Yeah, it's strange because obviously I want it to be nice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I keep saying, move that thing off the draining board there and make sure that tea towel's moved. I don't want to like the back of shot. And So yeah, I have been making sure it's tidy and nice, but you know, I is generally tidy and nice, but I suppose you do feel the pressure. You know, we got like 3 million viewers last week. I don't want 3 million viewers seeing my mucky tea towels left on the side.
What I love as well is, like, you know, you've got your beautiful barn, Davey's got, Alan's got like this beautiful manicured lawn.
I know,
and
it's quite something, isn't it? It's like a National Trust garden.
And I was like, is that really his place? And then yeah, bless Frances, amazing. She's got like a backyard.
I know, but it's good,
it works,
though, isn't it?
That's
it
what
works.
I thought. If it was only Alan-style gardens, people would switch off. So I love the fact that all four of you have got these really random, so very different houses.
It's good.
It is brilliant. So you're, you know, we spoke before, you're you know, you're a garden designer and you've got your own website and you offer services. So what kind of, do you have private clients where you go and do their houses, do a full makeover for them, for their garden?
Well, things have changed a bit of late. So I used to do more garden design than I actually do now. Now, I do tend to try and avoid it unless it's something that I'm particularly passionate about and I want to get involved with. Just because I found that I got into gardening because I love being outside and love being surrounded by nature and I love actually gardening. Mm-hmm. But when I started garden design, I started just being indoors more and more, drawing and kind of, you know, planning and stuff like that. And I'm not a planner. Mm-hmm. I'm an ideas person and I'm a practical person and a physical person. So it took me away, did the design, from actually doing what I fell in love with. So now I do less of that and I do more garden mentoring, where I teach people how to garden in their own gardens. So I spend one-on-one time with clients and I go and spend full days with them and I teach them how to prune things, cut back, develop borders, design borders from scratch. We move things around, all kinds of stuff. So it's kind of like a bit like a personal mentor that comes to you. And I like it because it means it's much more collaborative. I'm physical, I'm outdoors. I get to share my knowledge with people, which is one of the best bits of my job for me. Mm-hmm. And I also get to see a garden develop over time. And because I really missed that. I really missed kind of going back to a garden and seeing what it was like and developing it. When you garden design, you kind of do it and then you leave and you don't see it again, generally. And that's not kind of why I fell in love with gardening. I like seeing things come on and, you know, evolve and stuff like that. So I get to do that. So yeah, it's ticked a lot of boxes and I'm really enjoying it actually.
So so if I came along and I wanted that service, obviously, is it like a monthly thing or how does it work out?
It's a year. So the minimum, contract, I suppose, if you call it, is for a year. And that's the minimum days you can have in a year. It's 4 days a year. So that it's like one in spring, one in summer, one in autumn, one in winter. Uh-huh. And you have like a full day with someone. Obviously, many people add on to that. People will say, oh, actually, can you come for another day in May? Because there's a lot to do and you have a lot to show me. So it all depends on people's budgets, people's size gardens. But the minimum is 4 days a year and 1 day a season. Because otherwise, there's no real point, because for me, it was all about that seeing the garden evolve, teaching someone new skills, making it so by the time I stop going, they feel really empowered and kind of, you know, confident that they can carry on.
Yeah. I think that's such a, because I haven't heard anybody offering that kind of service. And I think I come from a point of teaching people, you don't know until you know. And I think it takes a whole year working in a garden to teach people that.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to kind of, and to show people the seasons, and there's loads of different types of jobs to do in May than there is to do in October. But they're still vital jobs. So that's why I kind of made it that minimum four, because it's not, you know, this is about kind of me wanting fulfillment from my work. So it had to do what I wanted it to. And that was for me to be able to build relationships with people, share my knowledge of gardening, and to do that fully, it needs to be over the course of a year, and to see gardens and spaces develop. And that was kind of why I kind of put that into place.
Yeah, I was looking through your website, katierushworth.com, and on there you have a load of like how to's as well. And you've got so many videos on there. You've got posts about growing a bonsai tree or laying a lawn. But one of the things I really liked, which really made sense, and I think a lot of new gardeners there'll be people on here who don't do any gardening, or like, for example, my garden is great. The decking and the raised beds are amazing, but the plants, I can't keep them alive for love nor money, right? But what one of the things you said, like, the is it the soil and sun, like, and the bucket test? Can you explain that to my listener?
So they're kind of the two things that I always say to any like novice gardener that you need to know, and that is how much sun your border gets, or the area that you want to plant, and what is this, what the soil is like. And once you have those bits of information, you can kind of really easily plant things that will thrive. So if you have a garden that is in shade for most of the day, then you obviously need shade loving plants. And if your soil is damp for most of the day, then you need plants that like it, you know, moist. So then when you go to the garden centre, you kind of look in the section, or you ask someone in the garden centre, what plants like moist shade? And then instead of kind of having the whole garden centre to choose from, you might only have 20 plants to choose from. And that kind of just makes it a bit easier to get your head round, rather than kind of looking around everything and trying to mix up stuff that's just never going to grow there. So the bucket test is how you check. It's a simple test to be able to check if your soil is clay or friable, like free draining. So you get a bucket of water, you dig down to about a spade's depth into your border, and you take a handful of soil, and then you dip your handful of soil into the bucket of water and pull it out. And if it all sticks together and it's kind of sticky and clayey, then you know it's clay and it will hold lots of moisture and be moisture retentive. But if you pull it out of the water and it kind of is all crumbly and friable, like I mentioned earlier, and it kind of falls apart in your hand, then you know it's free draining.
Such a simple test, isn't it?
It's a really simple test, and it just makes life easier. So I always kind of, definitely tell people that that's what they should do, because I understand that when you go to the garden centre and if you know nothing about plants, it all seems so overwhelming, and you generally go for the things that look the prettiest, like, you know, kids do when they're at the checkout in the supermarket. They want the sweets when you're walking out. It's like being a kid in a sweet shop. You're like, oh, that looks really pretty, so that must grow well in my garden. But the reality is that if you have damp clay soil, lavender is never, ever, ever going to live there. No matter what you do, it's not going to like it. Because lavender likes full sun and free draining conditions. So like a Mediterranean, and so does rosemary, and so does thyme. So, you know, kind of once you find out what those two things are, how much sun, what your soil's like, you have a much narrower scope of plants to be able to choose from. And if you plant all plants that like those conditions, you always find as well that they generally look better together. So if you're not good at placing plants and you have no idea about planting design, it's just really good to go with the soil and sun thing, because all things that like damp shade usually look really natural and lovely together, because they usually grow together in that habitat, you know, if you didn't put them together. So it's kind of a good thing as well if you don't think you're good at placing plants. Stick to those two rules and it's amazing what you can, you know, you can turn out.
So my final question I always ask my guest is, if money was no option, I want you to describe to me your dream garden. So it could be something you already have, or something you plan to have, or if, like I say, it's like literally desert island dropped on it, your dream. And also what you're drinking whilst you're in your garden.
Oh, okay. My dream garden would be like really quite natural in the countryside. It'd have a huge outdoor kitchen, a really big area for growing veg, but it's got to look beautiful. I'd have lots of flowers for cutting. I'd have an area that I could put a marquee up to have massive parties, and I'd have loads of lights in a tree and a giant disco ball like the one at Glastonbury. I'd have a stream at the bottom, or like a wildlife pond that we could maybe go swimming in. And lots of kind of beautiful naturalistic planting.
Wow.
So it'd be like a, some kind of like glamorous hippie commune.
Free loving, skinny dipping in a stream on the moors.
Pretty much, yeah.
And what are you drinking?
What am I drinking? that's a good question, because it depends what mood I'm in.
We did an episode where we did a little cocktail area, and you were all about the Aperol Spritz. But who was it? Couldn't say the Aperol Spritz. I can't remember who it was.
I do love an Aperol Spritz. I do absolutely love an Aperol Spritz. But I really love beer as well.
Really?
Yeah, I really love beer.
Yorkshire lass.
Yeah, I love craft beer. And I'm really good at drinking wine. I think it'd all depend on what kind of day it was.
I love it. I'm really good at that. Especially in lockdown. I think I'm lucky if I don't drink
really
every
good at
day.
Eating and drinking wine. Yeah.
Oh, Katie, it's been an absolute pleasure. So if anyone wanted to contact you, you can contact you on katierushworth.com. That's your website. And what's your social media handle?
My social media handle on Twitter is, I will tell you now, is Queen of Spades 00.
It just binged up.
Yeah. My handle on Twitter is Queen of Spades 00. On Instagram, it's The Queen of Spades 00.
The Queen of Spades. Katie, it's been an absolute pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for talking to me on the TV Carpenter podcast.
Thanks, Wayne.
It was so lovely to speak to Katie, a fellow northerner. I hope you found the bucket test informative. I never knew that, to be fair. And I like the idea of choosing, you know, knowing your area, you know, if it's a shady area, and choosing a load of plants from that one area. And he said they'll always look good together because they're meant to grow together. So I thought that was a really great top tip. So I hope you enjoyed that interview with Katie Rushworth. If you'd like another top tip, don't forget to go to my IGTV videos on Instagram. And on there's a video on how to replace broken decking boards and how to give your decking board a spruce so that you can, you know, get another season out of it. And also, if you'd like to paint it, if you'd like to protect it, Thorndown do a really good eco decking paint. It's actually their normal paint, but there's clear stains and different wood stains, and I did it with my decking and it made it last another 3 years. And if you go to thorndown.co.uk, you'll get 15% off if you put in the code TV Carpenter. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to like it, subscribe, leave me a comment. It helps people find me. All that's left for me to do now is say thank you for listening to me, Wayne Perry, on the TV Carpenter podcast.